can I say, I just wanted to say before I kicked off, I know sometimes it feels stressful for families at church that it can be awkward and you've got little kids and you may feel a bit of pressure to keep them all quiet and settled. As someone who is at the front, that's okay for me. I don't mind if kids are a bit restless, a bit rowdy. That's a sign that we're a family. Little kids are part of the equation and we love them being around. So don't feel too stressed about it. Just relax. And if they make a bit of noise, that's fine. If your adults want to get up and dance around, I don't mind that either. But yeah, we're a family and families have noise. Families have a bit of chaos. So that's all good. I'm going to pray and then we'll see what God has to show us in the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. Almighty God, let's give you thanks. That you've given us your word, Lord, that you've given us a permanent record of the things that you want us to know and understand about who you are and the work that you've done in the world to this point. We just give you thanks that we can gather together, spend some time looking at that. We pray that you would illuminate to us this morning the truths that we need to take away to impact our life and our walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I had an introduction plan for this morning's sermon, but I really can't go past that story of the client that Michelle was talking about, T, who was so overwhelmed by this sense of self-hate that she's really struggling to even like herself. And it's really hard for her to see how God could love her if she can't even come to the point where she doesn't hate herself. The hate that T feels in her heart is a massive barrier for her moving on in life. It's a massive barrier for her to make progress with her family. It's a massive barrier for her understanding who she's meant to be. It's a massive barrier between her and God. Until she sees a way past that wall of hate that surrounded herself and that she sees herself with, that woman's going to really struggle to see freedom and experience life in the way that we know she can experience it. There are so many things in people's lives that become a barrier to their future. Things that hold them back and chain them down and obstruct them to living the life that they could in this world. For T, that's hate. Hate of herself. Poor self-worth. Massive barrier. But the barriers that are stopping people from living life to the full are so numerous. This morning we're looking at the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. And as an Ethiopian eunuch, he faces so many barriers to having true intimate relationship with God. So as we look at his story this morning, we're going to have a look at the kind of barriers that he faced to having true relationship with God. And as we talk about that, we're going to see how many of the barriers that the Ethiopian eunuch faced and barriers that still exist today. And we'll talk about some of the other barriers that people are facing today in their ability to relate to God and to become part of God's family. And then we'll see how there is one thing that breaks down all barriers, that removes every barrier between God and man. I guess most of you will probably guess what that is. We'll get to that in a minute. So let's have a look at this guy, this Ethiopian eunuch. So we've just heard about Philip in Samaria, Simon the sorcerer. God's doing this amazing work with the Samaritans. They've broken through this barrier between Jews and Samaritans, and there were many, many Samaritans coming into relationship with God. So you may have thought that this is great. Simon's all fired up. He's doing amazing things. He's winning people for God. Dozens and dozens of people coming into God's family. Let's keep on doing that. That's good. But God says to Simon, angel of the Lord comes to Philip and says, Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down between Jerusalem and Gaza. Despite the success and the good progress that's being made in Samaria, God sends Philip away on this journey down a road in the desert. And Philip obeys. Philip hears the word of the Lord, and he goes. He goes not knowing what he'll find, but he goes in obedience to God. And God sends Philip because God wants to take that next step, the next step in the expansion of his kingdom. First, we've seen the Jews come to know Jesus as their Savior. Then we've seen the Samaritans come to know Jesus as their Savior. But God wants to continue to push open the doors, to widen the gates of entry into his presence. So as Philip goes down that road, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. So this Ethiopian, we know a lot about him just from these few short sentences. We can tell that he was an Ethiopian. Now, most of us probably have an idea what Ethiopia is. Ethiopia is in Africa. It's quite a long way from Israel when you're traveling by chariot. So he was probably, black African, looks very different to the people of Israel, to a Jew. So he was racially different. As an Ethiopian, not just would he be racially different, but culturally different. He was a eunuch. And a eunuch, people may or may not know a eunuch is. A eunuch is a man who has been castrated. He has been sexually modified in a way. And whether he was a eunuch in actual physical appearance, or whether he was a eunuch in title only, we're not entirely sure. But as a eunuch, if he was a eunuch, he does have a particular sexuality. He is a person who was in a particular state of being that was different to many others. As the Ethiopian eunuch, he is an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace. So we know this man isn't just a man from Ethiopia with a particular sexual identity. He's also a man of great influence. He's in charge of all the treasury of Ethiopia, which makes he's a man of power and probably wealth and influence. We can tell he's a wealthy man and an important man because he's riding on a chariot. So this is a man of wealth and power, of different race, of particular sexuality. And he's coming to Israel, to Jerusalem to worship. So we know that this man has some conception of God. He has some idea of who God is. So this guy was either a proselyte. A proselyte is someone who has chosen to change religions to follow another religion. Or he may have just been a man who was curious about the Jewish God, and he'd gone up to Jerusalem to find out more. We're not entirely sure. But this man was seeking the truth. He was seeking to know more about the one true God. So as he goes up to Jerusalem, as he went into Jerusalem to try to find out more about God, to initiate a relationship with God, he would have faced many barriers as an Ethiopian eunuch. First of all, the Jews were somewhat discriminating in their racial and ethnic divides. They were very, very closed off. They thought, this is who we are. We are the people of God. And sometimes they were resistant to people outside their own. If he was a eunuch in the physical sense of being a eunuch, he wasn't even allowed to enter the temple. In Deuteronomy, it forbids eunuchs coming into the presence of the temple. So if he was a eunuch, he wasn't even allowed to enter into the place where God was. Even as a man of wealth and influence, there are barriers to entry into God's presence. God tells us that being rich or the love of money or wealth is a massive obstacle for people to overcome to have true intimacy and relationship with God. So as we read about this Ethiopian, we can see that there are many things that are a barrier between this man and true relationship with God. When Philip finally catches up to this guy, he hears that the Ethiopian is reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Another barrier that this guy had is that he didn't really get it. He didn't really understand what true relationship with God looked like, or how you achieve that, or how he, as an Ethiopian, would achieve that. Sure, he'd gone to Jerusalem and he'd seen the Jews worshipping their God, but how does he, as an Ethiopian, get there? He doesn't understand what it all means. So ignorance is another barrier that this man had to getting into the kingdom of God. And these are the barriers that he faced, but there are barriers in our day and age too. Sometimes race may seem like a barrier to coming into God's presence. I know that there will be people who would find hard to go into a church because they don't look like you. We're somewhat diverse, not that diverse. Some people may look in the door and see, oh, there's quite a few white people in there. I'm not sure I want to come in there. Or maybe the other way around, if you're in another community, there might be a whole lot of Pacific Islander people in that church. I don't know if I can go into that church because I look different. So sometimes we make race or culture a barrier. Our cultures of our churches can be barriers because, believe it or not, we're kind of weird. I remember a whole bunch of my friends came to hear me preach once back at Covenant. And a lot of these people were unchurched, hadn't been in church before, and they thought we were weird. We'd stand up, we'd sit down, we'd close our eyes and listen to the guy praying, and then it's all this weird stuff, and they'd talk about money and whatever it was. There was stuff that we do as a church practice that is very foreign to people who haven't been brought up in the church. They walk into the church and like, what is going on here? What are these people doing? Why are they doing it? I don't get it. So our cultural church practices can be a barrier to people coming into the church. Sometimes the ways that Christianity speak or are portrayed can be a barrier to entry. Often people can put together Christianity and being judgmental. Christianity and being unaccepting. When Christianity is portrayed as condemning homosexuals or condemning abortion or condemning this or condemming that, when all we see as Christians are Christians saying, you are bad, you're not worthy, you're no good, you're not acceptable. That is a massive barrier for them coming to meet God. The way that Christians sometimes speak or act build barriers that people can't break through. For someone like T, one of her barriers is the way she feels about herself. There are many people who would feel there's a barrier for them coming into the presence of God because they feel so bad about themselves. They feel unworthy. They feel shame. They feel guilt. They feel hatred of themselves. Whatever it may be, people build up barriers within their own emotional states and their own mindsets that keep them from coming into God's presence. Why isn't this room this morning overflowing with people? Because there are barriers between relationship with God and where they're at. There are things that are stopping them. External and internal things that are stopping them. For some of them, it's ignorance. They're not at church this morning because they don't know that church is a thing. They don't get it. They don't understand what it is. They don't understand why they should be here. For so many people in our society, there are so many barriers between them and having a true, intimate relationship with God. So many barriers between them and finding out who they are truly meant to be. So many barriers between them and complete freedom in Christ. So how is it that those people with the barriers that stand between them and God, how do they break down those barriers? How are those barriers overcome so they can come into the presence of God? God wants to break down those barriers. God wants to overcome those barriers. He wants people to come into intimate relationship with Him. When God said, Philip, go find that man on the desert road, He was sending that man to the Ethiopian because God wanted to break down those barriers that were keeping the Ethiopian man from having true intimate relationship with Him. He values that man. He sends Philip one of his great workers to go get him. It's like the story of the 99 and the one. God will send out to find that one because that one is worth it. He wants to get that one who's lost and lonely and buried and can't get out. He will go and get them because he loves them. God sending Jesus into the world was about breaking down barriers. You may remember part of the Easter story. When Jesus died on the cross, one of the things that happened was that the veil in the temple was torn that separated the rest of the temple from the Holy of Holies. It was a sign that God is breaking down barriers, that the path has opened up to true relationship with him. When Jesus came into the world, he came into the world to break down the barriers, to overcome the things that was keeping people away from true relationship with God. So when Philip, sent by God, reaches the Ethiopian, he's reading the Bible. He's on a search. He's reading, "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." He was reading this, but he couldn't understand it. But Philip came alongside him. And it says in verse 35, Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. He was ignorant. He didn't understand. But Philip began at that very passage and explained the good news about Jesus. What was God's plan to remove the barriers that stood between the Ethiopian and himself? Was sending someone to explain and break down those barriers, to tell them that Jesus was the answer. He began at that very passage. For me, that is a very cool thing. Philip began at that very passage. He met that man where he was. This man was struggling to understand a particular part of life, a particular part of the Bible, and Philip sat with him and explained that thing he was struggling with, spoke into that direct situation, and then led him on a journey that led back to Jesus, to his birth, his death, his resurrection. He began at that point of need. And I think that's a great signpost for us. When we are meeting people and we see their barriers, the things they're struggling with, the things they can't overcome, where do we start? We start at that very place. We meet them where they're at, with the barriers that they're facing, the things that they're struggling with, and we meet them there, and then we walk with them on a journey that leads towards Jesus. We don't just put aside, don't worry about that particular passage, I want to tell you about this. He didn't. He sat there and he talked about this particular issue, this particular struggle, and as he worked with that, he led them on a journey that came back to Jesus. And we can use that same approach. We may not be meeting people who are reading the Bible or we need to explain the Bible to them, but as we come alongside friends and family and co-workers and neighbors, whoever it may be, we're going to meet them and they're going to be sitting there struggling with something. There's going to be something in their life, something that's going on that they're going to find difficult. And as we come alongside them, sent by God to be his barrier breakers, we need to meet them where they're at. Whether it's one of Michelle's CAP clients around debt help, whether it's someone like Peter who's struggling with health at the moment, whatever it is, we meet them where they're at. This is the thing that they're struggling with. This is the thing they can't get past at the moment. We're going to sit here and engage in that area. And as we talk with them and help them and support them and encourage them, we're going to start talking about things that are spiritual in nature, and we're going to lead them on a journey that leads towards Jesus. We meet them where they're at, and we come and bring them towards Jesus. Do you know why we bring them to Jesus? Because Jesus is the barrier breaker. Jesus is the one that can overcome all these obstacles. Jesus is the one that breaks down all the barriers, removes all the obstacles, answers all the questions, and gives access to God. The songs that we've sung this morning, they've been chosen a lot because they do talk about Jesus being the answer. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can take away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can take away the barriers of people coming into relationship with God? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can help these people overcome these internal and external struggles they have? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Meet them where they're at, and then lead them on a journey that brings them to Jesus. Because Jesus breaks down the barriers, removes all the obstacles, and enables relationship with God. As we engage with people, we need to be intentional about showing them Jesus. Now, often, as we engage with people, the first way we show them Jesus won't be with our words. We won't necessarily start every conversation talking about Jesus. But we need to show them Jesus in every conversation. We need to show them Jesus in every interaction, every action, every deed, every word. For those who have built up resistance to the church because of the way the church has behaved in the past, or the things that Christians say on TV, those people will not start to listen about the name of Jesus until you've shown them that the love of Jesus is real. And that you're accepting, that you're forgiving, that you're gracious, that you love them for who they are, as God's creation and God's image. They're not just out there to change them or to judge them or to force them to be like you. We've got to love them first. Show them the love of Jesus. That wins us the right to talk about the love of Jesus and introduce them to Jesus. For those who are barrier is ignorance, they're not going to learn about Jesus unless someone tells them about Jesus. The Bible says the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. We don't become laborers unless we make the choice to be laborers, unless we make the choice to share Jesus in our words and our deeds. There's going to be many, many people in this world who die in ignorance, not knowing that there was a massive barrier called sin between them and God that needed to be overcome by the blood of Jesus. So are we being intentional to be barrier breakers? Or are we just happy to let people where they are? Go about our day without hassle or inconvenience or disruption or awkwardness? Or are we like Philip, responsive and say, someone needs a barrier broken? That's me. When Michelle asks people who wants to go out and meet some cap clients to help them know Jesus a bit better, to build relationships, overcome some of the barriers of awkwardness and social anxiety to come into God's people, does that steer your heart and say, yeah, I want to be a barrier breaker, let me go with Michelle? Or you say, oh, that's awkward. Saturday morning? Oh, it's kind of, it's like a sleeping day. Where you respond and say, yeah, I'm going to be a barrier breaker. I'm going to be the tool that God uses to break down that barrier in that person's life. Are we praying for people that the barriers will be broken down? On your 5 and Focus bookmark, we have people's names who have barriers in their life that are stopping them coming into relationship with God. Are we praying for those barriers? Are we praying that God would move to break those barriers down so that they are more free to see Him, more free to come to church, more free to enter a spiritual conversation with you? Are we being intentional and positive in our desire to break barriers down? For me, in my mental five that I haven't written down, because I'm lazy like that, some of the names, I live in a fairly Christian bubble. I work in a Christian environment. I spend most of the day talking to Christian people. I come to church on a Sunday. My kids go to Christian school. I have a home group. I don't do much that's not Christianese. So in my life, the main people who are non-Christians are my neighbors. There's a couple that live out in front of us who are non-Christian. There's an Indian couple over the back who are non-Christian. This is my non-Christian world, essentially. There are people around me. And one for me, one of the barriers is that we've lived there for a long time and I've never really engaged deeply in these people's lives. I know the people out front. We say hello and goodbye. I have a chat to John out the front every now and then. But my intention has never been particularly to try to get him to come to church. So the barrier for me is overcoming that social awkwardness of having lived next to someone for years and years and years and never try to go to that next level. Is it going to be weird for him and for me when I try to have a deeper conversation with him? When I talk to the neighbours over the fence who are Hindu, one of the barriers is how do I talk to the Hindu family over the fence about God and what that means to me when I've known them for a couple of years and never really had that conversation? But it's a conversation I need to have. I want to be a barrier breaker. I've been talking to God, put non-Christians in my life so I can talk to them. Well, the fact is, he's really convicted of me that he has. They live right next to me. Do something about it. So if you're sitting there feeling a bit stink about this whole thing, don't worry. I feel stink too. I've not always been the witness I could be or should be. So I need to pray for myself. Lord, break down my own barriers I have so I can do this. Give me an opportunity to speak to John when he's out there tinkering with his lawnmower or washing his car. Give me the courage to, when I see the neighbor in the garden playing with his chickens, to go and have a chat to him. It's not hard in some ways, but in some ways it's very hard. Because we haven't been in the habit of being barrier breakers. We haven't been in the habit of being intentional about showing people Jesus. It won't be natural to us. It takes repetition to create a habit. And it takes intention and willpower to create repetitions. So for me, that's my challenge. How do I intentionally reach out and connect with my neighbors for the sake of the gospel? To remove their barriers so they can come to know Jesus. On your list, physical or mental, what do you need to do to start breaking down those barriers? To start moving those people towards relationship with Jesus. The Ethiopian, he heard the good news about Jesus. And as they traveled down the road, he saw a body of water. And the eunuch said in verse 36, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Why shouldn't I be baptized? Is there any reason why I shouldn't be baptized?" He was probably used to being told all the reasons why he couldn't be a good God-fearer. Because he was Ethiopian, because he was a eunuch, because he was rich, because he was from a foreign country. All these barriers. He'd heard the gospel of the Jesus who died on the cross to save him from his sin and break down all these barriers. Why shouldn't I be baptized? There's no reason why you shouldn't. There's no reason why you shouldn't be baptized and become part of God's family because Jesus has removed all those barriers. All those things that used to get between you and God, they're gone. They're over there now. Removed. There's no reason whatsoever that you shouldn't have a relationship with God. There's no reason why you can't be intimate with the Heavenly Father. Isn't that amazing? This man who'd experienced so many barriers to finding the truth, finding freedom, finding peace with God, in one conversation focused on Jesus, all that had been put aside. Here you go. Come, be baptized, enter the family of God. You're accepted. You're one of his. You're loved, you're cherished. You're his precious child. Can you imagine how that felt for him? To finally see the truth, to finally find his spiritual home, to finally understand who he's meant to be and what he's meant to be doing in the world. Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again. So when that work was done, as a barrier, when that barrier was broken, and the Ethiopian entered into the presence of God as one of God's children, Philip was taken away. His work was done. But that didn't leave the Ethiopian distraught or despairing or upset. What did he do? He went on his way rejoicing. Because he had finally found truth. He had finally found his home. He has finally found relationship with his Heavenly Father. He went on his way rejoicing because all those things that were holding him back and obstacles and barriers were broken by the blood of Jesus. And he felt the freedom at last to know God and to live for God and to become like God. For people who finally meet Jesus, for the people that we love and care for and work with and walk alongside, who finally see the final barrier fall as they truly understand the significance of Jesus and what Jesus has done, there's rejoicing. Such rejoicing. There's rejoicing in heaven every time a person decides to follow Jesus. There's rejoicing in the family of God every time someone joins our family. And there's rejoicing for the person who makes that decision. Because they finally seeing all those barriers fall, the walls have fallen down, the chains have been broken, the eyes are seeing. And they rejoice. Because that's such a wonderful thing for a person to meet their Father, their Heavenly Father. There are people in our lives, people that you know and can think of right now, who need to have those barriers come down. There are people in our lives who we can be a tool that God will use to address those barriers, to help them overcome their ignorance, to help them overcome their self-worth issues, to help them overcome their skewed view of what the church is or what Christians are. There are people that God wants to use you to reach, to use you as a barrier breaker, to allow them entry into his presence. God's given us that great privilege of being his workers in this world. He hasn't broken down your barrier so you can sit in a pew on Sunday morning or quietly read your devotionals in a morning at home. He's brought you into his family to put you to work for his kingdom. And part of that work is to break down the barriers that are keeping others from him. My challenge to you, as the challenge is for me, is to break down those barriers. To push past the awkwardness, to overcome your anxiety or your whatever issues you have, and decide, I am going to be a barrier breaker for Jesus. I am going to introduce people to Jesus, and I'm going to see them rejoice. I will rejoice with them when they become a child of God. Let me pray. Lord, I just want to pray. I want to give you thanks that you have given us Jesus. Without Jesus, Lord, there is no relationship with you. Without Jesus, we have no hope for this world. There is nothing that we can do in this world that can make any difference without the blood of Jesus. Lord, I want to pray for T, who has a self-hate, Lord. I pray that you'll break that barrier down. I pray that through the love of Michelle and others from the church and whoever she meets that knows you, that that self-hate will be transformed into an appreciation that she is a child of God, created in your image and acceptable to you through Jesus. I pray for our friends and family who have barriers in their life that need to be broken down so they can have a relationship with you. I pray for our neighbors, our work colleagues, our school friends. I pray that every barrier that stands between them and you will be broken down. And I ask that you would give us the strength, the skills, the courage, the determination to be tools in that process. I pray these things in the name of Jesus, knowing that is a name above all other names. Amen.